We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we'll just wing it.
Yeah.
We'll talk about... I genuinely do. Like, I've been wanting to hear your thoughts on, like...
Wing it. Yeah.
We'll talk about... about, like... Basically, where this update is versus previous ones. I feel like it's been forever since we've spoke about stuff like that, but I know you got some vibes, some opinions. I really liked your idea of, like, adding a new game mode, but every time I sit there and I try to think about a new one to add, there's a... Anyway, I'll jump into it and follow my lead.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll see how this goes.
Let's do it.
Okay. Hello, I'm Toy Cat, and welcome to episode 3 of the Deep in the Mind podcast. This is an audio podcast that you can also watch on YouTube. It's available on Spotify, and it is where we're going to be talking about the latest and greatest in Minecraft. But today, we have a guest, don't we?
We do. Hello. Hi.
It's funny, I say we have a guest, but if you're the guest, I have a guest, and I'm happy to invite you into
I'm the guest, but it's your guest.
You know, yeah, you're my guest, but also, I mean, be my guest is, you know, hello, how's it going? We go way back, right?
We go way back. Like, actually, you know what's kind of funny? Today is my 12th anniversary on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw that just as I was, that is actually nuts that, you know, and like 11 years of that have been,
we go back that far. Yeah, we go back that far. We're like veterans.
Do you want to know, I shouldn't front load this, but just as a funny, like, anecdote, when I first saw your videos, I could barely understand you. I was like, what? You know, like, we're from the same country, but I was like, what is this guy saying? Like, I feel like on YouTube, your accent, like, both me too, but, like, accents tend to thin out over time. And
definitely.
Yours was definitely very thick 11 years ago, and that's a funny little anecdote there. But
you
today,
train yourself.
Sorry?
You train yourself over time, right?
Yeah, exactly. You get the more comfortable speaking. There's a reason we have broadcasting voices or whatever. You know how news people used to sound like, and today we are good, you know, there's like accents. It's the weirdest like dating thing. But anyway, today I'd like to talk to you about Minecraft 1.20. Like, I genuinely am very excited to hear what you're thinking about this, because I think the last few updates, everyone's been in the same band of like, well, this is either pretty good or it's pretty bad. No one thinks they're disastrous. No one thinks they're the best things ever. There's just been some nice content. But 1.20 has been a really interesting one to look at, because some people say this is the way they should do announcements, like just work on the update and give us it as they go. And some people say this is the least ambitious update we've ever seen. I want to know where you fall on that.
I agree with both statements. Like, when we found this out, I think the first thing that I said was the community is going to be disappointed. And I think they were, based on the fact that, like, I had my heart set on an end update. Like, I don't care what anyone says. 1.20 as like a whole update to me sounded like it should be an end update. It made perfect sense to cycle back around to an end update. Now, I totally understand the approach that Mojang and Minecraft are taking, but at the same time, them being cautious is down to their own mistakes, right? Like, that is the reason why they've taken this approach. Now, I'll be honest, I was absolutely, like, devastated when they announced how they're doing it and what was in it, I felt underwhelmed.
It was the most underwhelming, 100%.
Yeah.
Because like, really?
And here's an interesting fact. I went back and watched the event, and the vanilla side, like not including the skins, the vanilla side was like, I think it was like less than 20 minutes of airtime. So we wait a whole entire year for less than 20 minutes of the vanilla airtime. But that being said, like where we are now and the content we have, I kind of like it. I would still like a little bit more, to be honest.
The wild part to me, though, is that last year I had the exact same reaction. And like, you know, the wild update already felt like, oh, after Caves and Cliffs, what are they doing? And then it was like, oh, but we'll see more, right? And it seems as though that was overwhelming. So their response to Too Little at first was like, even less? What are we going to see announced next year? Just, you know, one new block and then the, you know, it almost feels like the trend is like downwards and downwards and downwards.
I feel the wild update was a marketing thing. I feel like the wild update was basically Caves and Cliffs part 3, but yeah, to prevent them being like, you know, saying it's a disappointing update, with if we the community would be really annoyed if they said, oh yeah, it's Caves and Cliffs part 3. So I think for marketing reasons they called it the wild update, which made it quite frustrating because it kind of prevents a possible big wild update being introduced in the future. So.
Yeah, wild update is such a vague term that I feel like they could have announced basically anything and it would have just about fit, right? Like any broad...
Yeah.
You could argue this current update is quite wild, the weird variety of things. And, you know, the camels are found in the wild.
the wild update could be so many things. I mean, I'm not like... Listen, I think what they did do in the wild update in terms of the deep dark was phenomenal, right? Like we'd never seen anything like that before.
Best individual feature for so long. Yeah. If you take the whole thing.
Yeah, I can't say I'm disappointed in what the wild update offers, but in terms of the name, the wild update, as everyone says, it wasn't wild enough, and it's not, right? So.
Yeah, I think the crazier thing is when you look at what they announced at the, you know, because again, last year, you're right, like it was smaller and then they got smaller this time and we waited a whole hour for it. But I like that they condensed the whole show down a little bit. Like there used to be so many random segments where you're like, is there anyone watching right now who cares about this particular collaboration? Like it almost feels just throwing it in there to announce it somewhere. But this actually felt like
at the same time though, it's gone from being like all about Minecraft to I don't want to say it because I like obviously we don't want to say bad things about it, but it's more of just a marketing thing. You know what I mean? They used like the reason why they put the vanilla stuff at the end is because they know most people tune in for the vanilla stuff. And I feel like they used this year's event to market Legends.
They know
which
people would
again,
tune
makes
out
sense
if they
put it from a, from a business standpoint, right? Makes sense. But I don't know. I'm excited for it. Don't get me wrong. But like the vanilla side needs more airtime to me.
Yeah, I think they should, like, litter a few things throughout, and, like, that's how I do the show, personally. But I think they're also, the attitude of, like, we'll do everything later is a really interesting one, because it shows that, even though it lets the community kind of help decide what 1.20 is going to be, we can kind of ship things that way, it also feels like this is the big test of, like, there are no direct promises or expectations in that way. Will that lead to a better update or will that lead to worse? I mean, I'm sure you have something in your own life where pressure on you makes you perform worse and some things where pressure makes you perform
definitely.
Better.
Like, this is something I've talked about quite a lot, like maybe not with you, but it's something I would definitely like to hear from you. I think the developers have a lot of pressure on them, like more than ever before. And I feel like maybe over the past couple of updates, typically this year, the back end of last year, it feels like Minecraft community versus developers. And every time they say something or post something, everything is negative. I don't know if you get that vibe, but that is seriously the vibe I get.
Caves and Cliffs is the moment that happened, I think. When they split it and then tried to sell it as a good thing rather than saying, this is a mess up. And, you know, these are the reasons we'll try not to do it again. They're like, but really... If you think about it, just having copper ore on geodes is really a great update in its own right.
I get why companies we can't help but feel disappointed, right? Like, deep down, we do feel disappointed at the end of the day. And I knew people would be disappointed when they announced the 1.20 update, but I think in the long run, it's probably the right thing to do. Like, I remember I did see your video, and I made a video as well, about them doing multiple updates per year. And I think that is the right way to do it. Like, Minecraft lacks in content, and I don't think Minecraft should just have one major update per year. I think the game is definitely capable of two or three smaller updates and a big update. Game is worth billions of dollars, you know what I mean? So
they have hundreds of staff. Like, they're coy about the exact number, but it's like deep in the hundreds, like approaching 1,000. How do, you know, let's just say it's 500 people come together to make a game, and then we get, you know, 15 features a year. Like, how something is happening inefficiently there. Like, if we had a team of 500 people working on a YouTube channel, you know, sure, maybe, you know, we're not getting 500 times the content, but it would be a shocker if you got less than if there was just one of us.
You're right. I mean, we're not going to know what goes on behind the scenes. I've heard some interesting things. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. But I'll say what I can say out loud is a lot of people on the vanilla, like people behind, not the this broad decisions, but some of the micro decisions, they do have the data on how many Minecraft sales are the increase in Minecraft sales after an update. And I'm sure if they can see that, there's a reason why Caves and Cliffs Part 2 is probably the last half update we'll see. Like, I'm sure the wild update and the never update were much better for sales than here is part
definitely
of a broader.
Yeah. We would never know that, though. That's stuff we would never see publicly, but
well, you know what's interesting is they used to make some of it public, like the number of players and the number of sales used to be released every 6 months or a year, and they stopped doing that. And that by itself is almost an interesting indicator, right?
I wonder why.
Yeah, it could be it's just so successful and that I reckon it probably like stalled. I reckon 120 million players a month is impressive. And if you go from 120 to 119, that sounds really bad. Even though
it does. Yeah. I mean, we got to remember that this is the most sold video game of all time. Like, people forget that.
Yeah. It's funny. The trajectory at some point can only go down. Like, it can grow for so long, but at some point, the impressive thing is if it can stay at the same level, if it is still having over 100 million players a month, 10 years in, 12 years, 15 years in. That's
a crazy fact, though. Like, the way Agnes says she wants this game to last, like, another 50 years, 60 years, you know what I mean? Like, that's some serious announcement, you know?
For a quick mini topic here, how long do you think Minecraft actually lasts? Because they can say 50 years, they've said 100 years, I've heard 1,000 years, I've heard 30 years. What do you actually?
I'd probably say. I reckon it's got at least another solid 10 years at the top, providing they do the right things with it. You know, like I don't know. I think a solid 10 towards the top, but it's got to fall off at some point, right? I think Minecraft's very community driven. So with that, once they fall out with the community, that could be the downfall.
Yeah, it'd almost become like a retro, even if it's like quite popular, if it's lost a lot, it'd be almost like a retro game where you play it to be like, oh, this is what used to
good
be.
Times.
Whereas
now the community
is still doing nutty things every day. There's always something weird and wild. And if you just go on our Minecraft, the Minecraft Reddit, there's some build every week that makes you go, whoa, I can't believe someone did that.
And these people lurk in the dark. Like, you don't see them on social media as often as the likes of me or you, do you know what I mean? Like, we see YouTube content or Twitter, but then when you go to Reddit, it's a whole new world, man.
Yeah, it's the same with there's a lot of garbage that hides it, sadly, but on the marketplace, because now there are people getting paid for this stuff. There's some like stunning stuff, and it's crazy what people can do within just the framework of Minecraft.
Like, I have a friend, and you're probably familiar, Stark TMA. He's going to drop one of the best marketplace content you will ever see. And I've seen a development of it, and it's not ready yet. But trust me, it is something that you will play and something you've never seen before on the marketplace.
See, that's exciting. I actually, you know, I have experienced some of his stuff. I think that will be good. I guarantee you,
if I can get him to show you a small clip, you'd be mind blown.
Yeah, I would love that. I would love to see what they're working on to that gets you so excited. That is sounding pretty great. But
no, like you said, like when it comes to marketplace content, a lot of it is shadowed by good content. I feel like whoever publishes the content to the homepage, there's like a close connection there. Because the homepage is what makes the money, right? Like 100%. A lot more money, should we say?
Yeah. I'll say what I from what I can tell with just my limited data that I can say out loud, it's a factor of like 10 or 50 times more sales. Like, no,
that's
who's
crazy,
clicking,
right?
On
it's
view more mean. Content like that? It's if you're not in the top, I think it's called the top 12 slots. You're the only people seeing your stuff are like people very actively looking for it.
You're still looking for content, right?
But you're not going to make the, you know, hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands that the very top end pieces are making.
Yeah.
Which side note, have you ever looked at the best selling maps? Like half of them are like incredible, like wow, these deserve to be here, and half of them are like maps from the very launch of the marketplace where it's like this is Skyblock and there's just that many
quite
people.
Outdated. It is. Yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah, it's a wild one to see. It's
how has your experience with the marketplace been?
Yeah, I have to as a consumer, I think the marketplace is really challenging, right? Like how do you find good stuff? The answer is there's not really any great way. There's user reviews, but there's no easy way to like actually find stuff beyond that. Like I would love to see some like comments and reviews saying that, like with words being like, this is really good if you want a challenge. This is really good if you want a good base for that. But instead, it's just every now and then they'll promote something interesting outside of the marketplace that brings you in. But there's not much reason to go back in there repeatedly and risk spending $8 on a map that might be terrible.
No, I feel like if somebody's done this works, let's copy it and see if we can get the same.
Yeah, there's so many copies of each other on there. Like,
there is.
There was a modern house map that did absurdly well way back, and then there's 1,000 clones of it because being the, you know, 1,000th as popular as that is better than making your own thing. It's a big challenge.
It is. It's the same as YouTube though. Like I find like a lot of the content I click on, like it's based on the thumbnail design, and that's a huge thing.
Yeah, it's weird because everyone has this instinctive like, oh, this is bad that all YouTubers do similar trends and styles, and you know, there's not too much drift you can do. But then when you see something entirely new, you don't want to click on it because you don't know what it is. Like we have such a fear of the unknown, right?
Definitely.
So I've noticed there's all sorts of trends that pop up and go down, and it's almost as a YouTuber, you do have creative control of how well or badly or how interesting you do a thing. But you are just rising and floating on the trends that exist. Unless you're the 0.0001% who can make the trend from scratch.
Who started it all? Definitely.
Yeah, even the Mr. Beasts of the world, like you know, there's even if he started the trend of just I'm going to spend like $250,000 on a video. It is now him riding a trend that he has created, admittedly. But
it is. Yeah. He did the same with the donations, streamer donations, didn't he? He started that.
Oh yeah,
kind of thing.
No, you're right. There's a lot of actually even his whole channel. He just started by doing the thing of like, here is a ridiculous thing I'm doing for hours. Like I will read the dictionary for 10 hours straight.
Yeah, PewDiePie for like a million times or whatever it was.
Yeah. It proves that we're all working within. Vague. No, we like things that are vaguely familiar, just better. We want a 10% better version of something we have, rather than something we have no experience with, which is interesting. So I want to ask a question actually about 1.20, because I saw you made a tweet maybe a week ago saying what the update really needs is a new game mode, and I wholeheartedly agree. I think a lot of YouTubers think that hardcore is really fun, and although that should come to Bedrock. What do you think they should add beyond that as far as a game mode is concerned? Because it's a hard question to answer.
I think Minecraft needs a drink. Like, you have to drink as well as eat. And I know that sounds like really
that's
stupid.
That's the worst idea. I'm just gonna cut you off right now and say that is the worst singular idea. You've got to try and convince me as to why that's not terrible. Because I think it is.
But why would you say? Like, let me hear your reasoning.
Okay, the reason having a thirst bar is awful is because water is abundant anyway. So the only thing that would challenge you is like bringing a bottle of water, you know, like a little glass bottle with you everywhere, and then refill. Like, it's not an interesting mechanic. It's just a come back to river mechanics. I think having water be useful for something else and making it like non-infinite, like, you can't just bring two buckets of you somewhere. That could make that interesting. But with Minecraft's infinite water, there's never actually any struggle to find it. Unless you mean they should drink a fluid.
But that's the same
water.
About food, and we still have to eat food all the time.
Yeah, but food, the easiest foods to get are not the best foods. And the best foods are not always easy to get. You can make a carrot farm, and then make a gold farm, and then combine the two together. Or you can make an emerald farm to get golden carrots. But it's most people start...
Is this your flat world kicking in on how you did it?
It is.
See, that's a good example, though. You've done it, right? Like, you figured out like the what you need and what you don't need and how fast you need it in a world like a flat world.
Yeah, the flat world is one of the coolest... Like, I think that reinvigorated my, like, love for the base game and making farms in a way that I hadn't forever. Because at a certain point, you have enough resources that making a farm just for the sake of it is dumb. But if you need to make this weird contraption, otherwise you can't get iron, it's actually fun to... I think Minecraft should make a new game mode that plays with that sort of creativity. Like, either new world type options. Because they made Super Flat playable in Survival for one update and then reverted it the next one. Which was kind of strange. Like, you have to make it in creative, then switch over to survival. That's like step one. Step two is custom super flats. Do you remember console edition? And
I know, man, I missed that. Like, that was. Remember how important or how well that like moved on within the 360 and console edition community. Like, at the first, we're like, oh, it's this, and then you realize what else you could do with it, and then you could start a series in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there were so many weird ones, and some of them were fun because they broke the game, admittedly, so they got patched out. Like, the having a world of TNT and lava. It's hilarious, in my opinion.
Bad idea. Bad idea. I think you did one, though, where you had TNT and
Nuclear
lava
Wasteland,
underneath.
I think I called it. Cause
man.
You get 10 seconds, and then the wood burns, and then that ignites the first TNT, and then the world is just always exploding. And there's something crazy and... interesting about that. Same with, like, when you make a world full of sand, you used to be able to do that, and then it slowly starts falling, and there were so many fun super flats. But it's what's weird is that was added in 2015, maybe, now.
Long ago? Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy thinking about dates when you compare them to now, because, like, we're old, man. We've been doing this for too long. It's been 10 years since, like, Minecraft 360. 10 years.
That's scary, man. We slipped through the gap and we're still going somehow.
Yeah. On YouTube, being 10 years in is like, we are like pensioners, you know? Like,
I said, like, most YouTubers average, what, 3 to 5 years?
I think you have, like,
and then they fall off.
I think if you're, you have like 2 to 3 in the spotlight, and then maybe you decline for a couple of years before you stop as the usual. So to go for anything past that is... It's very, even if you think about TV shows, like, how many TV shows get past a second or a third season? Even the best TV shows stop after like 8 or 9. It's an exception that can go for 10 or more. Let's give ourselves
back to game modes. Like, as you just said, maybe not a new game mode, but definitely something like a new world type. Like, do you remember the infinite snapshot they did on Java?
It still is so fun to go into that. It's been a while since I have, but that is still one of the coolest ideas.
Yeah, I think a game mode specifically, obviously, like, hardcore mode, and does Bedrock have amplified? It doesn't, does it?
Still does not. It's just flat and infinite now.
Yeah, like,
the old world is
they are obviously, for Bedrock players, a priority, and, like, 100% needed. Like, they've been doing spectator mode, but is the end goal hardcore mode? Or have they introduced spectator mode to make life easier for the marketplace creators? Like, as weird as it sounds, I feel like a lot of the stuff they introduce now to the game is all for the marketplace to make it easier for them.
Yeah, it's almost sounds conspiratorial, but it does seem as though there are so many new commands and things that marketplace people can do. They can make new blocks from scratch now. It is really cool, but it feels like so the creativity for things you can buy has gone up by tenfold over the last few years. But we only removed world types, and the flat world doesn't, you know, it doesn't have customization, and there's all these things that probably should be in there, even just for Java parity reasons, but still aren't.
Like a village? Villages aren't there either, are they?
There's no structures at all, which admittedly like, makes it more challenging if you are insane like me, but it's... yeah, for years it was just assumed you couldn't survive on it because there's no villages. Like, it was a lot of, like, theory crafting to get past the lack of that. But yeah, there's no villages, no structures of any form. Java Superflat's actually quite fun because you've got strongholds, so you can actually go to the end if you want to. That's something that's been on my to-do list forever. But I also think, though, this isn't actually a great idea for the wider community, but having something harder than hardcore or at least more challenging and different, you know, like, because when regeneration turned off came out, that was also quite interesting. And so if they can make new challenges...
Yeah, we did that. Do you remember this? The weekly series we did?
Oh, yeah! I can't believe...
The Amplified... Oh, that was crazy. We did it in Amplified as well.
We took a Java Amplified and converted it over.
Man. That was good times. Like, here's an unpopular opinion. I think hardcore is easy.
You get yourself a
totem farm, you're set for life.
The Totem of Undying actually is kind of an unbalanced feature.
Did you see my tweet on that the other day?
But when they made it farmable, or rather didn't make it unfarmable when people worked out how to farm it, that just meant that now you can never die besides the void.
I don't think it should be farmable. And I posted that the other day when they did changes with the Vex. I said unpopular opinion, but I don't think the Evoker should be in raids. The Illusioner should have been in there. Like, why did they not do that?
Even now, that is one of those fascinating... I would love to hear the internal conversations about the Illusioner.
Definitely.
Do they have a plan, or have the staff changed so much since then they've all forgotten? Is he just that far from completion? It's basically starting a brand new mob. I want to know.
Yeah, it's there in the game, but they don't want to add it, but they don't want to get rid of it, you know? It's like a just-in-case thing.
This is why I think they need to do panels again. We need to hear their, like, raw thoughts on these sorts of
100%.
Things. Like, 100%. What is the deal with Illusioners? Just the tiniest bit of information would... But yeah, I think Peaceful was actually more challenging than Hardcore. That is my hot take.
There'll be a lot of people who disagree, but I'm right there with you. I think hardcore mode is not as hard as what it used to be, because I think partly because Minecraft's developed in the future to be much easier. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's more things on offer rather than easier compared to what it used to be like when hardcore was like less popular. But
yeah,
I just think hardcore mode
makes the game easier. There's more food.
You know, you see all these series, but they're all running around with totems. So.
Yeah, and you want to almost want to say, like, okay, we'll do totemless hardcore, but then if it's just for a video, then people, you know, like, it's easy to undie in hardcore if it's a video thing. So it's like you got to have something that's in the game itself that makes these extra challenges.
We did an SMP in the Shady Oaks where we couldn't trade with villagers, and you never realize how much you need a Minecraft villager until you can't trade with them.
Yeah, they're crucial. I mean, I can tell you that from Superflat how screwed I'd be without that. Like, that's all of my progress right there.
Villages are OP. They are.
Yeah, I think that's actually what the village and pillage update did. Kind of to take this back to update titles, like, that update really actually did overpull trading, and it made it quite OP in some ways, but then also made it much just more usable and interesting. And it's a whole wing of the game that exists now.
I think we still, like, I appreciate the changes they did. That, like, I wouldn't like to go back. I think the biggest update for me that made a huge difference was probably the ocean update.
Really? That's, to me, the weaker of the three big, big female.
I couldn't go back to seeing those Graveloceans, man.
Oh, I still have them all over my world, so maybe that's why.
Loaded up Xbox One Edition, and I completely forgot that I didn't get the aquatic update, and I was like, wow, the difference.
Yeah, that was the, for the time, that was the update where we're like, whoa, they're coming back with big, themed, amazing,
world-changing updates. Definitely set the tone, didn't it?
Yeah, that was a good time. That was a, I also think, like, they stuck really well on the theme in that one, too. Like, there was so many different ocean-based things. The only really non-oceany one was the Phantom. I feel like with Village and Pillage, they kind of just started, like, adding.
What did you vote for again during that?
Oh, I think I haven't voted for a winner yet.
Oh, really? I had my first winner this year.
This is a bad story, but I was just like, well, I know that my mob probably won't win, so here's the deal. Chat, whoever bribes me the biggest, I'm gonna vote for your thing. And so I voted for the sniffer because of that. But does that count as me winning, or does that count as me being bribed?
Corrupt. It's got to be corrupt. Sorry, toy cat.
Yeah, for the next general election in the UK, I'm thinking of doing the same thing. Like, which party do you want me to vote for? I'll be in the poll box streaming it. It'll be a great idea. Democracy should be for sale to the highest bidder. I mean, I don't know how anyone can disagree with that.
Yeah, makes sense.
No, so you voted for the sniffer this year?
I did, yeah. I just love the lore behind it more than anything else.
The thing is, though, I think the lore behind the sniffer works great whether he was added or not. Like, because he is extinct. He's just coming back now because of the update. But the rascal and the tough golem, if they don't exist, it's just like, oh, yeah. They came up with the idea there might be someone in abandoned mine shafts, but there's not. They're still kind of empty.
They're so desperate to add a golem to the game. So desperate.
Next year, it'll be like, do you want to
golem,
vote
golem,
for...
golem.
they're going to have one terrible mob and two golems, I think. That's my theory. And then if we don't vote for the golem that year, it'll just be three golems. That's
internally rigged.
It seems like, I mean, honestly, the mobs ever since the Glow Squid one, they've been so inoffensive that I'm not that hyped about any of them.
No, me too. I think they did, like, obviously I think everyone has been quite critical on 1.20, but at the same time, I think the way they did the mob vote this year was brilliant. It was so much better.
Oh, really? You liked it?
I liked the fact they did it on a server. I liked the fact that we didn't know what was going to win.
Yeah, I think the server was incredible, and I hope that's like the one objective win. I think the way they did it was kind of strange, of the announcements happening one by one, even though we knew the entire time. You're right. But I think the mob choice is what I was kind of complaining about. Is like there isn't much being added for any of them.
I miss the biome votes way better.
First of all, yeah, totally agree. But even the Moobloom, the Isologer, and the Glow Squid, all three of those mobs felt like, maybe besides the Moobloom, but I'm sure they could have added some fun feature for him, but it was going to be a hostile mob for the mountains, or a mob that had some weird glowing effect, or a cow that looks like urine. Like, there were three crazy options, and now it's just, there's a golem, and there's a guy who gives you pickaxes, and it's a dinosaur that gives you only decorative flowers. It's confirmed, they're only decorative. And it's like, well,
they could definitely do more with it.
I also think the information they give us is like basically decides the mob vote. If they'd have confirmed something in the Rascal drop table that was brand new, like, ooh, it's a bag of holding, people would have voted for Rascal, right?
That's no a question. Perfect example, though. Like you said, like, the text decided it for us, and what we found out later on about the golem is that they stack upon each other. But why not tell us that from the start? Why is that?
You're blowing my mind, dude.
You know the mob? You know the mob from Dungeons when you complete a tower mission and they're standing on top of each other?
Yeah.
That's what apparently the golem was based off.
Oh, So that would have been incredible. That feels like something we definitely should have known.
So why would they not tell us? Like, they limited each animation, right? But then told us extra information either in the description or on the website. Like, put that in the video. Put all that information in the video.
Yeah, I think that the more information... every piece of information they humanly have should all be in the video. Because we know 90% of people watch the video can't... They're not going to read the description or go to Minecraft.net. That's how people are basing their votes. It should all be in there. It is very strange. You're right. Like, what a...
I think with the effort they go through as well to set up the server, to put it on the website, vote here, vote there. They go through so much effort for very minimal mob-related things.
My theory is that this is a grand conspiracy theory. They want people to believe that democracy is actually all a lie, and we're all uninformed, really. And they're letting us know by showing us these mobs in Minecraft and being like, "Wow, isn't it crazy? You voted for this one, then later you learned that actually it's like this." Yeah, and they're trying to turn off a whole generation from democracy by teaching us that you don't know what you're voting for till it's too late. That's my theory.
You never know.
I think that here's another fun question. What is there that we haven't, because we've seen a decent amount of 1.20. What is there that we haven't seen that you would most love? You got anything that you're
a excited? Feature that I would like to see?
Yeah, like,
ooh, that's
we know the Sniffer's coming. That's going to be exciting. But otherwise, I think we literally have no idea right now, right? We're literally in the unknown.
No, yeah. It could go in any direction. I would still love to know their internal theme name.
Do you think they have, like, in their office, like, 1.20, the critters and kitters update, or whatever they got?
I think it's like a quality of life. You look at the features they're focusing on, I think internally it's a quality of life features update.
Yeah, and to be fair to them, that... when I hear quality of life, I'm like, do I really need that? But after seeing so far, actually, they're pretty nice, right? Like,
yeah. Did you see the creative changes, right? With where you can access the command blocks in the creative
so
menu
much
and stuff.
Yeah, why
do
was
you know
that
how
not
useful that
okay?
would be for Bedrock players?
Yeah, the all of those the mob spawner only made its way there too. The light blocks, like that stuff is like. Yeah, game-changing. Because there's a lot of people who are in creative and genuinely don't know those things exist, or they know there's a command block, but they've never seen it.
Have you ever tried to type out a command on Minecraft Pocket Edition on your phone?
Oh, no.
That's a challenge. It's a challenge.
I sometimes try to do, like, just teleporting around or locating a biome, and it's like, this is how. You make one
Honestly.
Typo, and your whole command doesn't work, and it's really hard to go back to
go
the
again.
Point.
Like, honestly, I look back now, well, obviously we used to play 360 Xbox One quite a lot. Like, the interface on that was brilliant, but I can't go back to playing the console version of Minecraft. I have to do it on PC now, whether it's Bedrock or Java, obviously. I can't use a controller the same way as I used to.
Oh, that's funny, because I play on PC more than I play on console now.
Same.
I've been playing the Series X recently, but even when I play on PC, I use a controller. So when I play Java, I'm
really?
Like, oh, this is so... I'm locked into using keyboard and mouse there.
I've fully moved over to keyboard and mouse.
The one nice thing, because there's a lot of things like speedrunning where I have to use keyboard and mouse. So I'd like to believe I'm like ambidextrous or multilingual or whatever, but bilingual. But the biggest like problem with keyboard and mouse is like if you're playing for a long time, it's just comfortable to have a controller, and like movement is very comfortable, I'd say.
I will agree. Around. Yeah, I think I end up with like sore arms when I use keyboard and mouse. First, I can hold a controller for hours upon hours, but I think that depends on how you grew up in a way. Because I see a lot of PC players, like, you give them a controller and they suffer so bad.
Yeah,
compared to going from a controller to a keyboard and mouse.
That's a really common thing of, like, just you can take the best player in the world at a certain game, put a controller in their hand, and they look like a toddler just picked up.
Oh,
like
yeah, that. Exactly, yeah. It's, it goes to show you, controller's hard to learn. So if you're an up-and-coming gamer, learn controller first.
Well, that's the big question, actually. This is almost gone a bit from Minecraft, but I want to hear your thoughts anyway. I think consoles are sadly on the way out. Like, this generation...
I do, yeah.
You couldn't get your hands on a console from this generation, and that hurt it. But even before that, it just... There is... With PCs becoming cheaper until recently.
I was going to say that. I think PC... A part of that is PCs becoming much cheaper, and... Especially when it comes to Xbox gaming, you can literally play all of those on PC anyway with Game Pass. So,
oh yeah, Game Pass has to be mentioned. Is incredible, right?
It's a gold mine.
I find it weird to buy a game now. I'm like, oh, I can't just download it for free. Oh, what's that all about?
Plus, like, it's not that, like, do you remember we used to just stick a disc in and you could just play for hours and hours and hours? Now you got to put it in. You got to download the game. You got to update the game.
Oh, yeah, I haven't bought a disc in so long. Like, I can't imagine getting up and changing disc every time I want to switch games. I just stop playing and switch to YouTube or something if that happened.
Yeah, like, same.
I'll switch disc tomorrow. That's YouTube's problem.
I remember buying a secondhand 360, and the dude, like, said that most of the stuff he plays was just on the Xbox itself. But he sold me, it had GTA in it. He just didn't play it.
Oh man, that's a big win, huh?
Free game.
It's crazy, by the way, that GTA has existed on the 360 and the same game is on the Xbox Series X. By the way,
yeah,
like 10, 12 years later, whatever it is. But yeah, I you're right that like we've switched how we play games, and that it's sort of advantaging PC, especially because if you spend $500 on a console, you have a console. You spend $500 on a PC, you can play games and then also do all of this other stuff. Like, more and more people want to do air quotes content creation, want to do
definitely
all this other stuff that is just only really doable on PC. Like, it's there are streaming functions built into Xbox and PlayStation, but you never hear about someone making it big because of those, right?
It's not the same, is it? It's just not
so
many limitations.
What's weird is there are social media platforms that start that, like, basically force you to use your phone, like TikTok on PC. I don't know how many creators would actually use it there, but there's not an equivalent of that for consoles, like a gaming place where you can only stream or record or whatever from a console. It just does not exist.
There used to be.
Oh. Yeah. What happened to it, huh?
No. Exactly.
I'm so sad. A lot of people like I knew went like all in on Mixer, and
no, exactly,
like,
yeah,
because they're like, yeah, this is something we will be the third force in streaming, and then they just kind of gave up one day, it seems. I don't stream on Twitch. This is this podcast is streamed on the people who produce the show's Twitch, but in general. I want to hear your thoughts, because you do YouTube and then you stream on Twitch, whereas I do YouTube and stream on YouTube. So why over there on Twitch, man?
Why? Okay, so there's a funny story to this. So going back a long time ago, I used to stream on YouTube, and then I ended up getting a copyright strike where I couldn't stream on YouTube. And I remember a long time ago I made a Twitch account, and I was like, well, I still want to stream. Instead of making a separate YouTube channel, I'll try Twitch. And I just preferred it. I think the tools were so much better. I think...
Really? What tools do you have on Twitch but not YouTube?
I just think... No, this was back then. Not now, but back then.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, YouTube sucked for so long. I think the interface is a lot better. Sorry?
YouTube sucked for so long.
It did. It really did. I think YouTube now is probably going to be the dominant platform for streaming. But I think the Twitch, especially for me, the Twitch community is a lot more mature. And I think the people who do watch me over there, they've signed up to watch me kind of thing. Because I think, like, sometimes YouTube chat can get a bit wild, man. Gotta admit.
I think that, because obviously YouTube has its problems too. Like, have you ever looked at the Minecraft category on YouTube? It's the biggest one.
Yeah.
I don't know how no one has done something about that. First of all,
they see that they clearly see that is public Minecraft stream with the worst thumbnails I've ever seen.
I don't,
and they just leave it.
Yeah, they want to get into the gaming and streaming, and then they have the biggest game ever that just is not watchable. You could never watch a Minecraft stream because of it. For those of you listening who are uninitiated, unaware, how would you even describe it? There's like weird child aimed thumbnails that go oddly sexual and like uncomfortable and inappropriate.
Yeah, that is like probably the perfect way to say it.
And then
like
they just stream 24/7 loops off some YouTube videos.
Are they making YouTube that much money where they just turn a blind eye to it? Or
I don't know if can be, because they only ever have like 300-400 viewers a stream. There's just so many of them that they clog up the whole page. And they also, like, no one's going to be tipping or donating or super chatting or membershipping or whatever. Like, YouTube must make more money from a genuine stream. And they just must, like, I can't work out. It's the same thing where, like, have they had conversations? Do they just not know? Have only the wrong people heard about this? Like, we just will never know.
Honestly. Like, but they want to push streaming on YouTube. But they just ignore it.
But
it's crazy.
On the other hand, Twitch has its own, just to get my anti-Twitch rant in here, like, Twitch has its own share of these big problems, right? Like,
It does. A specific
you hear about the
category.
Recent controversy. I was mad about it before it became public, that the biggest streamers, because Twitch claimed, like, oh, 50% is a really fair amount to take from people, unless you're big,
crazy.
In which case we'll take less, and then just you're not allowed to tell anyone. That, to me, was always uncomfortable. But then they admitted it just so they could take that 20% back from their big streamers. Like, that... They should have given 70%.
No, don't get me wrong.
Right?
Twitch is very greedy. No doubt. Very, 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 very greedy. But I think I've
half
just...
of your money is what... Half of... When someone gives you... That's crazy. That's insane.
It's honestly insane. Mad how they get away with it, but... I've alternated though, to be fair.
Even 30%.
Sorry?
Even 30% on YouTube makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, really? What do you do YouTube to earn that
30%? And we used to be contracted. I was like contracted to a company and they would take an extra bit of money, and how we survived is mad.
Are you talking about Machinima? Are you being...
I
so almost signed one of those perpetuity lifetime contracts when I started YouTube. Like, I was so close. And obviously it would have eventually been fixed. But just the amount of money just skimmed off the top. That's how you make huge money. The reason Apple and Google are so wealthy is because anytime you buy anything on your phone, they make 30%.
Insane, isn't it? Like,
what's even funny to me is they make their whole business on like skimming 30% off the top, you know, almost like a tax, and then they're like famously bad at paying their taxes. So it's like, well, you know, if you guys know that this is how you make the money, but you're not gonna. Okay, that's
I'm not
fine.
Gonna tell anyone. You know, it's publicly right there. That's wild. We live in a wild world.
We do. It is a strange. It is a wild, wild world. I totally agree with that. But not as wild as an end update would be. Do you think right now on the Mojang drawing board, where they say they've got the next three updates planned, do you think one of those updates is the end update to end the video out here?
I think it would. I think it would have been, but now that they've announced 1.20, I don't think so.
Oh, really? You think they're
going
to go
so.
For smaller scale, more laid back updates
I thought Wild Update took too long, so they split it. I think, sorry, not Wild Update, Caves and Cliffs took too long, so they split that update, and it's obviously eaten into the other update. And now it's like a ripple effect, like these updates are eaten into each other's times. I thought they'll do Overworld, be in the caves. Obviously, they've done the Nether. They've done the ocean. I thought, you know what? It just makes perfect sense, right? I actually thought before the Wild update, it was going to be an end update.
Yeah,
I was like,
it just makes
perfect sense to roll from ocean to on land into the Nether, then into the end. And no, it didn't happen. So no, I don't think so. I just don't think it's going to happen now. I think a large proportion as to why it's not happened is performance. I think the game is suffering majorly from performance.
But the end is a separate dimension, so you can, like, if you put stuff in there, it doesn't affect the rest of the game, I think. I could be wrong.
I guess so, yeah, but that being said, maybe, yeah, but I just think performance is I think the game is struggling performance-wise.
Yeah,
mainly on Java than it is Bedrock. Bedrock's 1,000 times more optimized than Java.
Well, that's what makes it so... So I agree, by the way, Java is super painful right now. But even Bedrock, like 1.19 followed by its sub-updates, each of them makes it like 10% worse, 20% worse. It's like, ooh, we can't keep making such big hits to performance and seemingly not adding... I do agree that, yeah, one point we need to have performance improvements. Like, we can't just keep sliding this way. It used to be going the other way.
Can't.
It used to be every update, it'd get better.
Yeah, it did. And I noticed that a lot last in the wild update, like, mainly in the snapshots. I know they're test things, but, like, that update, man, especially with the ancient cities and stuff, the performance was horrendous. Like, have you ever booted up Java on your PC? Like, my frames... they tank heavily.
Yeah, I to say the least, mine do the same. Actually, that we were talking before about like audio quality and how like it's so painful when you get it wrong. I didn't even realize how bad my recording was until I posted my video, and then just turns out even with a 2080 recording and playing Minecraft Java with 11 chunks of render distance or something, just too much, just impossible.
No, yes, I thought I was the only one. That is the exact, what you just said is the exact same thing for me. And I'm running the exact same 2080 as well, so it's crazy.
But yeah,
I can happily run
a
AAA game on full max quality and stream it with no problem, but Minecraft, nah.
Yeah, want to run 4K 60fps on a really visually intensive game? Heck yeah. Minecraft with the render distance turned down a bit. Ooh, I don't know about that.
so true.
Yeah, it's definitely something they need to get into. But yeah, thank you very much for coming along, helping out my brand new podcast, Echo. Really appreciate it.
That's nice to be on.
This is what you do at podcasts. You say, where should people find you?
Find me. Social media as Twitter as at Echoic Soldier, and on YouTube as Echo Soldier.
You should definitely do it. I cannot vouch for Echo enough. We're in a similar space of content, so if you like this, you might like what you find over there. Also, Deep in the Mine is brought to you by IBXToyCat.store. Wow, literally just an IBXToyCat t-shirt. Don't they look cute? You can get one. It's Christmas or Thanksgiving or maybe Thanks Christmas. And there's not a sale, but you can get one anyway. They're so good, it's like they're always on sale. Thank you for watching. And I'll see you for episode 4 next week. Thank you again, Echo.
No problem.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.